The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie Same Game Parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza in your local grocer's freezer and turn your place into a pizzeria. Connie's Frozen Pizza, real pizzeria flavor, is in the house.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
And Josh McCown gets his fifth start. The veteran, age 34, has done a nice job moving this offense through the air. McCown looking left, throwing end zone, touchdown, Earl Bennett. Touchdown, Chicago. Third and goal. McCown going to take off. Can he get there? Yes! Touchdown, Chicago. 17 seconds left without a timeout. McCown steps up. End zone shot for Jeffrey. Go get it.
He got it.
Touchdown. What a play.
That's an impossible catch, let alone getting 2 feet in at 6'3". McCown puts it up. Let's see if he gets both feet in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. To the ground. Play clock running down. And there's Forte. Can he get in? Pass Skanker into the end zone. Chicago Bear touchdown. Again. Count back to the air. Floating it out to Michael Bush. 10-5. Touchdown Bears. They are 7-7. Scoring on possessions tonight.
Home montage there from Joshy Football. Remember that nickname?
Oh, yeah.
Josh McCown, a one-time Bear.
What I highlighted of it was the scrambling touchdown.
Yeah.
I think his running ability was underrated.
Sneaky good athlete. Arizona Cardinals, Detroit Lions, Oakland Raiders, Miami Dolphins, Carolina Panthers, San Francisco 49ers, Chicago Bears, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Cleveland Browns, New York Jets, Philadelphia Eagles, Houston Texans, and of course, friend of the Waddle and Sylvie show. And he could be a future head coach in this league. And he's joining us right now on Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Our pleasure to be joined by Josh McCown. Josh, how you feeling these days?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me on. I thought that was the show for the day. Once you start listing my teams, that takes the whole time up. We're done, right?
Roll the credits, right?
Yeah, roll the credits. No, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. Excited to talk to you guys. And appreciate the highlights, man. You can get me back anytime now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's the intro.
What was your favorite stop? If you go back over the list, where was your favorite?
Man, the Bears. What are you talking about? The Bears.
I didn't know if you were going to just pander to us because we're here in Chicago, but.
Well, you know, of course I will, but you know, for me, if you listen to those teams and the list and kind of where all I had been up until that moment, and obviously the stop in Oakland was a little bit more. I mean, Lions. I got to be in the NFC North, but we were at the bottom of the NFC North, and so it wasn't. You know, really until I got to Chicago did I experience true NFL fandom. And, like, the Raider Nation was good, but, again, we weren't very good. And so when I got to the Bears and then obviously, you know, played my best ball there. I mean, you guys just played, like, all the highlights of my whole career right there. It's hard not to say. I mean, people ask me that all the time. Got to finish, you know, finished there in Philly, and, you know, very similar feeling as Chicago, where just people love it. They love the game. They love the team. Cleveland was that way. So all of those north, you know, Midwest up north cities where they're passionate about pro football is special. And Chicago was the introduction to me for that, and ended up, you know, forever hold a special place.
Josh, we continue to talk about our quarterback currently, and you know this city and how polarizing it can be regarding the quarterback play and how thirsty we are for that star quarterback. Do you believe we have one with Justin Fields?
I do. And you know, it's obviously the college tape was good, but there's always concern with some of those kids coming out of Ohio State because Ryan Day's such a good coach, and they're so, you know, the weapons are good, and the guys are so open that you know, from the quarterback position, you're always wondering, like, can he sit back there and get it done? You know, can he process and can he play at the next level? I think so far, based on what I've seen, I believe so. And he's a dynamic athlete and really special. And we're seeing that more and more as you know, the run game stuff comes alive. We highlighted on our show. So I'm doing a show for Underdog Fantasy. Shameless plug here. It's on YouTube. It's called Scheme. And so if you want to get some in-depth, if your Bears fans want to get some in-depth stuff on Justin, just go to YouTube and check it out. Type in Scheme and you'll see kind of some video breakdowns of some stuff I've done about Justin. But what I like is just his ability to throw the ball from the pocket. And you look at the long run against Miami, the best runs are going to come off scrambles. And you look at, you know, a couple weeks ago, Matt Ryan goes 39, you know, 40 yards or whatever he did at 37 years old. Like, even old guys that can't run get plays in the passing game because of the threat to pass. So I think finding the balance of quarterback runs to just drop back passing and continue to grow him in that game will help. But I absolutely think he can do it.
Where do you think he needs the most work? Obviously, as you said, Josh, dynamic athlete. He looks more comfortable on the edge at times. He looks very accurate on the edge at times. Is it just the process of getting used to the speed of the NFL game from the pocket as a quarterback?
Yes, exactly. And anticipating windows and standing in there and making throws. And you know, one of the plays I love that we broke down into that Miami game, the fade throw to Mooney, the slot fade throw to Mooney, holds the safety with his eyes, and he throws a beautiful ball there to the corner. And that's quarterback play. You know, that's being able to stand back there. There's a reason at 45 years old, Tom Brady's still able to do it at a relatively high level because you can stand back there, and it's physics. I mean, it's you throw that object from A to B faster than you can do anything else. And so to be able to stand back there from the pocket and do it, that's a premium. And all these games, if you look at the league, all these games come down to the 2 minute. I mean, how many games a week are we looking at going, it's a 2 minute drill that won the game. And so the quarterback has to be able to stand back there and make throws. Now the added value to run the ball is tremendous. And we're going to see that more and more as our, you know, as the college kids come to us, we're going to see it more and more with these guys that are dynamic athletes that can both do both. But I still think there will always be a premium on being able to throw the ball and be accurate and process, because defenses, as we've seen over the years, they always respond in kind. They go get faster players, and they bottle up these quarterbacks, and they say, you're not going to run the ball on us. We're going to make you put the ball in the air. So I think the key is still to have a dose of drop back passing. You can't just abandon it and go, well, we can move the football right now, so let's just move it by running it, because you're going to kind of get into the area you are right now where you're going to get banged up, and it's going to diminish his ability to throw the ball. So I think you've got to give him the reps. You've got to give him the reps. Give him the reps. Throw the ball. Train him in that aspect. Get him really good at that. Yeah. And because the natural running ability is there, and we've seen it all over the tape for you know, these first 7-8 weeks. So I think that's the key, is just continue to develop him as a passer. And the edge stuff is good. I mean, you can design those things to activate him, to get him going in games. I thought Getsy did a great job in some of these games of getting him out early and getting him easy completions. But at the end of the day, defenses are too good. They're going to say, hey, man, beat us. And then if they cover everything, then take off. Then make plays with your legs. And he can do that with the best of them. And so I think you look at Philly and how they've brought Jalen Hurts along. And really what he's doing a great job of is, if you watch the end of some of his runs, you watch the other night, he had some long runs where he could have probably stuck his foot in the ground and gone and gotten to the end zone, and he just goes out of bounds. And he trusts that they're going to call plays where either the other runner's going to get it in, or he's going to be able to throw it in. And so as they build the team around Justin, get him more weapons, he'll be more confident to be able to do that.
Josh, obviously finding a quarterback is very, very hard to do, but finding an offensive coordinator that plays to the strengths of not just his quarterback but his other players is also part of the equation. You mentioned Luke Getsy, and I'm glad you did, because I wanted to go there. What do you make of what you've seen on film from their offensive coordinator for the first time calling plays and trying to adapt an offense to what he's got in his huddle?
No, I think Bears fans should be pleased. I think he's learning about himself. He's learning about his quarterback. They're growing together. I think that's always fun to have two kind of young people in their roles growing together and learning together. And he's only going to get better as it goes. And the imprint of his play calling ability is going to be impacted by Justin's athletic ability and his athletic skill set. And so, you know, you would hope by the end of this year in year one that nobody's going to have a better feel for how to call plays for Justin than Luke. And so far what I've seen on tape, the growth from like week one to what week three, week five, like you see different wrinkles and you see more and more of different things where they're trying to activate Justin and get him going. So I think that's a positive for Bears fans, and I think it's a positive for, you know, for the organization. And you know, adding Claypool and kind of doing some of these things, trying to get him weapons around him. I like the guys that they got, the group of guys that they got. Maybe one more playmaker away from, you know, being a really, really talented group. But you know, he's dynamic, and it's a luxury, and it's just figuring out those things and figuring out, you know, when you're Luke Getsy and you're coming from Green Bay, or is that right, Green Bay?
Yeah,
right?
He was coming from Green Bay. Yeah,
yeah, you're coming from Green Bay, and God, we hate those Packers, don't we? But so yeah. Coming from Green Bay, that's why I couldn't remember. And you're coming up there, and you have a, you know, you've been around Aaron this whole time, and there's a skill set there with Aaron that's obviously legendary. Everybody is different, and people don't talk about this enough. Like, you could call the same play, Wally, you know this, you play with enough quarterbacks. Like, you call the same play, and one quarterback's like, when that play gets called, it's like, it's a completion. You know, he's going to find somebody. He's going to work the progression. He knows it like the back of his hand. You call the same exact play for a different quarterback, and he'll freak out. Like, he'll be like, nah, and guys will be wide open, and he just doesn't pull the trigger, and you're like, hey, I just don't see that play. You know, and so that's the discovery process that's happening right now with Justin Fields and with Luke Getsy, is just what does he see? What is he like? What hits his brain that you find those comfort levels, and then you build it around it. And so to me, a little bit in this year one, you're throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks and go, okay, this is what he likes. This is a comfort zone for him, and this is how we can win a game, throwing the ball with him here. And then you're building the run game and building the quarterback run game, and then you come out of this year, I think, with a pretty good handle on who you have, and then you take off in the offseason and run with it.
Yeah. Josh McCown, former Bears quarterback, talking to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So, Josh, what's the best comp to Fields? You mentioned a little bit about what Philly does. Is it Hurts? Is it a lot of Bears fans have talked about the progress that you see in what Buffalo has done and the accuracy issues that he had early? Is it Donovan McNabb? We've heard that comparison before. Who is a quarterback in the league from current or past years that you compare Fields most to?
Yeah, I mean, we can keep it current. I think the first two you said are fair. You know, I think Jalen and Josh Allen are fair comps because of their ability to move, because their arm strength. I really think Justin, to me, what I saw, what caught me off guard was just how explosive he is. And I did not – I knew he was fast, but I didn't realize he was that sudden and that explosive. And so I think those are fair comps. And here's the deal with accuracy. And just really, for me, like, you look at where my completion percentage was early in my career, and I'm a nobody. I'm not even good. But when I got to Chicago and really when I got with Trestman, like, my accuracy went up several points because the knowing of the plays, the way I understood the plays, the way Mark taught the plays, all those things benefited me. It helped me. And I didn't go to some, you know, drink some potion, and all of a sudden my eyes saw receivers different and I was more accurate. It was just the way I knew plays. And a lot of it had to do with changing offenses every year in my career and all that stuff. So to me, those, and that would be the area when I look at the stat sheet for Justin, I say, we got to get those up. We got to keep building easy completions for him. Let's get up in the 60s, up in the high 60s for him, you know. And you know, substitute maybe some of those quarterback runs that we're using and to maybe have some quick game, easy completion type stuff. But that's the area of growth. But I look at Jalen Hurts his first year, kind of you saw the same thing with Josh Allen, where the ball's a little bit all over the place. And then the more they learn and the more they understand about the NFL and about the windows, the more they cut it loose. And you know, I don't see any reason, because there's throws on tape. so it can be repeated. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like this dude's spraying the ball all over the place, and it's like, well, he just can't, you know, he can't throw in the ocean, stand in the shallow end. Like, this dude, he can throw the ball. You know, he can throw the ball. It's just the more reps he's got with these guys. And you see it, you saw it on the play I'm talking about with Mooney on the back shoulder fade. Like, he can put the ball where he wants it to be. And he's got dynamic arm angles, you know, so that's always, you know, has value when you're having to move outside the pocket. So the skill set is there. I think it's just more and more reps. That's why I'm so big about the drop back game, and it's hard because you've only got so many hours in the day. And so when you're teaching quarterback runs and you're teaching all these other things, which are good things for your offense to move the ball, somebody's, you know, you're losing reps somewhere else. And so I just think you got to set the base floor of teaching these guys how to pass the football. Because these games, it's 2-minute drills, man, and it's going to come down to that. And you're going to be able to, you're going to have to do that to get back into a game. And it's not fair to a kid to go, we've moved the ball, we practiced all week, we did these quarterback runs, we did all these other things, and we got into a game where we needed you to win the 2-minute drill, and you've not given me the reps to do that.
Yeah.
I think you got to keep giving him passes. Even if you feel like you're taking a step back, I think you're going to take 2 forward down the line.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Josh, because we've been saying this for weeks now. Like, what we've seen from him has just been, it's been brilliant. But what you need to also do from our perspective is you need to put him out there, and we know you can run. We know you can make plays with your feet. Let's throw it 35 times. And you may throw a couple of picks, but that's okay because this is a learning process. So when we get to the end of this year, we've put you in every situation and you have that experience. It sounds like that's what you're being an advocate of, is just put him out there and let him learn. And there will be mistakes, but this is part of the process.
No doubt. And I think it's a holistic approach from an organization standpoint, because here's what happens. You get a young man like this who can really spin the ball, and obviously the upside is tremendous. And so we want the production right now. So we go, okay, let's run him and get production. And it's like, well, okay, but what is that in a five-year window, what is that really? Because, like, we may flash in the pan for a few years, but then when it's time to go throw the ball and win games and take that next step and get to the NFC Championship or get to a Super Bowl, and we can't do it well, why not? Well, the first 2 or 3 years, we lost reps because we were just trying to win games because we were trying to keep our job. And so coaches think that way. So I think we have to be fair to coaches, and that's what I mean. It's a holistic approach from an organization to go, everybody's in on this. We got to grow this kid the right way, and we're going to do that, and we're going to be patient with everybody to do so. We're not just going to go, okay, you know, he didn't throw, you know, 35 touchdowns this year, so let's get rid of this guy. Let's get rid of this coach. You can't do that. You got to stay with it, keep the system the same for him so he's not going in the offseason trying to figure out what the heck we're calling trips right this year, you know, and now – He's walking the line of scrimmage in OTAs going, well, what's this formation again? He needs to be walking the line of scrimmage going, this is how you attack cover two. This is how you attack cover three. I'm going to go play quarterback right now instead of, like, what do we call a curl route this year? So I think that's the approach you have to take. And you're right. Throw it 35 times a game. See what happens. Keep giving him reps. Keep putting him in those situations. And I think you'll be pleased with the outcome down the road.
Even with this offensive line, though, even if they can't protect him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, and that's what you see them doing right now with the quarterback runs, is they're generating offense and trying to take some heat off of this offensive line. And the best way you do that for a quarterback is by running the ball and by controlling the clock. So those are good things. I'm just saying, when you get into a game where it's you know, it's scoring back and forth, don't be afraid to cut him loose and let him throw the ball. But especially because we're seeing right now, like, the run he got hurt on the other day, I believe was a quarterback run, you know, kind of going out of bounds and falling on his shoulder. And that's what I mean. It's just like, what are you really ending up with? You know, you're going to get him hurt on a quarterback run. And, you know, if that's the case, you might as well do it while you're throwing the ball and at least giving him chances to keep growing in that area, because the Q runs are good, but there's not a whole lot of learning that needs to take place. I mean, we've been running away from people since we were playing recess in second grade.
And Josh, it's not sustainable either, is it? Because not just from the perspective of teams will defend you differently, but now you have a kid who is an elite athlete. After all that pounding and all of your asking him to do, some of that explosiveness and suddenness will go away over the course of a 17-game season, and you can't rely on him to be that elite athlete all 17 weeks because of the attrition that takes place.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you would look no further than the running back position to assess that, right? I mean, you go, okay, look at their window. You know, their window to get paid, their window to have careers, it's very short, you know, relative to every other position. So when you start bringing that type of physicality into the quarterback position, you've got to be ready for that. And so you got to say, man, this may take a few years off of this guy if we do this. It may take several years. We don't know. That's what you just got to be smart about. And that's what I'm saying is when you turn on the tape and watch Jalen Hurts, they're doing quarterback runs, but he's getting down. He's getting out of bounds. He's avoiding hits as much as he can. There are got to have it moments when you need to dive and get the first down. Okay. There are moments when you're going to have to go get it. All right. Hopefully you don't find yourself, you know, opening day, at New York Jets and you dive to the end zone and helicopter yourself like I did. You don't want to do that and knock yourself out of the game. But there are moments when you need to go get it. But by and large, man, you got to avoid hits as much as you can. Because think about what we say. What do we say about how do you beat Tom Brady? How do you beat Drew Brees? How do you beat these the all-time accurate passers in our league? What do you hit them?
You hit them.
You hit them and you hit them and you hit them and you get them off their mark and you hurt them and you frustrate them. And so to me, if you go into the game going we're gonna initiate 10 to 15 hits ourselves by running them, now you're saying now you're putting them behind the eight ball a little bit. So. So I think you have to be judicious about it. I think it's got to be coached to the max about protect yourself, get out of bounds, like overcoached. Because it's good football and you see it all over Saturdays where people are generating offense by running the quarterbacks. Cause you get plus one in the run game is what happens when you can read a guy or you can block with the running back. It's just, it gives defenses fits. So it's good football. It's not bad football. But on the long-term scale, in a league where, again, I keep going back to it, you're going to be tasked with throwing the ball to win a game. You're going to look at that kid and say, "Hey, go win a game. There's 30 seconds left. We need you to get downfield to go win a game." And I just think it's not fair to do that with somebody that you've been running in the whole game and he's been being hit, and now you're saying, "Hey, man, go win it with your arm." It's like, man, you know, don't be shocked if he doesn't get it done. So there's a balance, and you know, I hope for that kid's sake is because. I love good football. I love the Bears, and I love good players. And this dude's going to be a good player. So I hope for his sake and for those coaches, I think they're going to learn a lot down the stretch here, and they're going to hit the ground running next year. And it's going to be fun to watch the NFC North next year.
All right, a couple quick ones before we let you go. Were you almost Jeff Saturday before Jeff Saturday with the Houston Texans?
It was a good process. Learned a lot through it, but. Well, you know, was right where I needed to be coaching my sons and coached one the year before, coached one this year. He was a senior quarterback this year and had a blast doing it. But like I said, learned a lot in the process. I love the NFL, love teams, love just being on teams and being a part of a team. And no matter what level it is or whatever, I just enjoy that aspect of guys coming together and trying to accomplish something greater than themselves. And so it was a fun discussion with Houston. And like I said, learned a lot through the process. And, you know, we'll see what happens someday. Who knows?
Is it something that you still want to do? You want to be a head coach of an NFL team?
I don't matter to me, really. I mean, I just, you know, somebody says come in and interview. Whatever. I enjoy being part.
Do you think he's doing this on purpose?
No.
The phone was perfect.
But,
oh, we lost you. Lost you there for a second.
Oh, sorry. I said if that's where the journey takes me someday, so be it. But really, for me, it's more of just, you know, going and being a part of a team. And you know, as we started the show with that list of, you know, 17 teams or whatever it was, like we learned in our house very quickly, don't plan. Don't plan anything. So we're just kind of, you know, taking it day by day, and then, you know, we'll see what happens. There's nothing better to me than just, you know, the team, and then obviously the highest level being at the NFL is special, and it's where I spent most of my life. So we'll see. Who knows?
And finally, Josh, before we let you go, like you, we've developed a nice relationship with Jay Cutler. Jay's going to be on the show tomorrow. Is there a special Jay Cutler message or maybe a Jay Cutler story you can share with us that we can then share with him?
A special Jay Cutler moment?
Yeah. Or a story or anything that would maybe embarrass him that we can talk to him about tomorrow.
The first one that comes off the top of my head is just – you know, so you guys remember I you know, I signed with you guys in I guess 2011 maybe. It was week of Thanksgiving, so like, you know, almost a couple weeks to the day. And I remember eating at a seafood restaurant on Thanksgiving night by myself. Like, it was just a wild, wild deal. But that practice that day, might have been Thanksgiving Day or Friday. You know, I practiced and Nate was the backup, maybe. So I wasn't getting any reps. And then, you know, by Friday, they were like, hey, man, get some reps. I go in there and I get some reps. And lo and behold, it's one of those terrible Chicago days, windy, gray, cold, you know, 25.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've been out of the league and just getting back in. You know, you want to do something impressive. I go in the huddle and the scout team card, Waddle, is a freaking flea flicker. And I'm like, dude, I got these, you know, I got the Whopper hands from the Burger King commercial. You know what I mean? I got these little hands. And I'm like, flea flicker is the worst thing for me right now. And so, you know, we would hand it off and, you know, pitch it back. And we're on the right hash. And I throw the ball. And I think it lands outside of the left numbers. Like, it's so bad. Like, it's end over end. And, you know, and it's dead silent. It's the ground. And I think Briggs or somebody was like, where the heck did y'all find this guy? You know? And so, you know, my heart sank. So I thought, you know, I'd be done. Well, and, you know, make it to Green Bay on Christmas night, and I play that game. And so, given that story of how it's going to be day-to-day in Chicago, I got there. I run a two-point conversion at the end of that game on a quarterback draw, and I dunk it on the goalpost, okay, like an idiot. I go in there, and I freaking hammer that thing on the goalpost. And I get to, you know, and we're down like 10, so it's even more stupid. But, I mean, you know, in my mind, I'm like, you know, from high school, you know, I thought I was going to get cut the first day by throwing a flea flicker. It looked like I threw it with my left hand. And so I jog to the sideline. I sit down, you know, and I'm high-fiving everybody. Everybody's all excited, whatever. And I sit down, and Jay's sitting there, and he's all bundled up. You know, it's like True Jay. You know, and I think there was some more colorful words he used, but it was like, what was that? And he just kind of cut his eyes at me, looked at me like, what was that? And I was like, dude. And he just looked at me like only Jay can. And I was just like, man, hey, I was coaching high school ball like 7 weeks
ago.
Like, yeah, I'll never be in this situation again. And so that was kind of one of my, you know, favorite moments, because it was just like, I was so happy. Yeah. And he just murdered me with his eyes. Yeah. and you know. So, like I said, like only Jay can.
But, we've been on the receiving end of that on several occasions. Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt. It's a gift. He's got a gift for that. So,
that is great.
But he's one of my favorite teammates, man. Enjoyed the time. Still, you know, obviously we still stay connected. But he's
one of a kind.
Says about him, I love him today. He's one of a kind. He's a good dude, man. Yeah. For everything everybody says about him, he's as good as it gets. Yeah. I really appreciate him and enjoy his friendship.
Josh, so Keep up the great work. Keep in touch. What's the pod again that everyone could watch on the YouTube page?
It's Scheme, like just like play schemes, Scheme, and it's Underdog Fantasy. It's through Underdog Fantasy Sports.
Great.
Awesome.
Really good stuff. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Josh McCown, former Bears quarterback. Awesome. That was really good stuff on Justin Fields. And there's good Justin Fields news. We'll give it to you coming up next. And also a Matt Nagy story surfaced today through Patrick Mahomes. We'll play it for you. Guys, we love our pizza here in Chicago. And Chicago knows that we can count on Connie's to deliver great frozen pizza and that authentic pizzeria flavor right at home. Connie's means quality because their frozen pizzas are made with only premium ingredients. We can count on them. And whether you have a taste for their famous cornmeal dusted thin crust like we love, their pepperoni is delicious, or their new crispy on the outside, soft and airy inside pizzeria style crust, Connie's frozen has you covered with restaurant quality pies you can cook on your own time. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold and bring home the best today. You can get it at Jewel, Osco, Mariano's, Meyer, wherever you shop. Connie's real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
A lot of good tweets about the McCown interview, and I can picture at the end there when he's talking about he's coaching high school football. He's just hoping to play in the league again after being a third-round draft pick by the Arizona Cardinals, and he dunks one at Lambeau Field. And then, you know, Jay's on the sideline all bundled up. He does that neck twitch at him, and he goes, what the F was that?
Yeah, I can see
that. What the F are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
God. You know how he is.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I was telling you, I pulled up the box score from that game. Aaron Rodgers was 21 of 29 for just under 300 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no picks. It's just been a nightmare, hasn't
it? I know. He should have big numbers this week. I mean, how could you not against this Bears defense?
I think the Bears defensive line had a sack for the first time in 4 or 5 weeks, didn't they?
A big deal.
Yeah, first in a month.
In a month, yeah.
They had a single sack.
That's my point. That is the level of ineptitude.
One sack, and then you get Sanborn making a few tackles. Other than that, with Eddie Jackson out, with the two kids who were drafted.
Brisker and Gordon are both in concussion protocol still.
With them out.
What would I have to set the number of touchdowns at for you to bet the over? I'm sorry, for you to bet the under on Rodgers this Sunday?
You put it at 4. I'll take the under.
So 3.5
passing touchdowns.
If I give you passing touchdowns at 3.5,
they may run for some touchdowns.
Yeah, like it's hard to.
I would say 3 passing touchdowns.
So if I set it at 3.5, you're going to bet the under.
I'd probably play the under. Yeah.
All right, Sylvie, same for you. Would you go over 3.5?
I would probably play the under as well. Because
just because 4 is hard.
And they're going to run. And they're going to run some in. But you know that what's-his-name is going to score at least 1 or 2. Christian Watson. Christian Watson's going to catch 1 or 2. He how many touchdowns has he had the last 3 weeks?
6 in the last 3 years. Right?
Yeah. I mean, he's going to have 1 or 2.
And he probably could have 8.
Yeah,
in the last
right.
3 games.
No, you're
oh,
right.
Oh, I thought you meant
if he was tracking the ball.
He probably could have 8 this game.
If he catches the ball, he could probably have 8
on Garrett
Sunday.
Wilson had a couple last game with Mike White throwing in the ball. If Aaron Rodgers is throwing Christian Watson the ball, how many could he have? 2 or 3? The run he's on?
Christian Watson probably will drop one of them, though.
Yeah, but he'll get 2.
True. Yeah, he'll get 2.
By the way, Sylvie, I love to. You know how much Sylvie loves a guest by his tolerance for the bad in power. And out of the bad phone.
You know what was weird is he was fantastic guy until we started asking him about being a head coach.
Yeah. Yep.
Then all of a sudden, magically, the phone got bad.
Yeah. Listen, he's a.
You're a conspiracy theorist at heart, aren't you?
I thought he was doing that on purpose.
Yeah, he's a Riley old vet. He knows. He knows how to play the game.
He knows how to play the game.
22 straight minutes of good breakdown, Fields breakdown.
Not one bad clip on the phone. Then we ask him about the Texans' job.
Yeah.
And then it's like...
What?
You know, guys, it was just I'm just happy to be on the journey. And...
I don't think you got a full sentence when he was talking about the job. I don't think you got a complete sentence from him.
No. And then Justin Fields, full participant today.
Yeah, listen, I liked what Josh had to say as well. It's what we've been talking about now for quite some time. Let's get out there. Regardless of the outcome, you've got to get these reps in with throwing the football 25 to 35 times a game.
Yes.
Even if there are some down moments, so be it. You're 3-9. You got to learn through some of this stuff. So I'm not going to hold it against you. If you throw a pick or two, this is the process of learning. You got to see it. You got to put yourself in these situations. The coaches have to put him in those situations.
What did
he
say? He called it, even if you have to take one step back, it's probably in the future going to be 2 steps forward.
It's what we've been talking about. You got to do it. You've got to. We know he can run. We know he can design run, scramble run, all red zone efficiency. We know. We've seen all of that. You've got plenty of reps doing that. Now let's do the other stuff. And look, it was bumpy to start the season. When they were running the regular offense that wasn't tailored to him, go back to the Houston Texans game. It was bumpy. But look, you got to get through those bumps. You got to, you got to get that experience.
I like what he said, too, about the accuracy, that a lot of it is knowing and playing with the confidence and understanding the playbook. Here's the other thing I wanted to play. This was going around today. The NFL even tweeted this out.
Who did?
The NFL.
Oh.
The from their Twitter handle. This was going around. What's the podcast here? Who
New Heights? It's Travis and Jason Kelsey's podcast.
Okay, so this is Travis and Jason Kelsey. Jason, of course, plays for the Eagles. Really, really good offensive
outstanding center.
Yeah. And they had Patrick Mahomes on, and he told the story about getting drafted by the Chiefs. And this was the infamous, remember this? Like, they all talk about it, where they're all watching this meeting between Reed and Mahomes, hoping that Reed gives them the thumbs up. Brett Veach is like the personnel guy who really fell in love with Mahomes. And while our guy, Ryan Pace, is falling in love with Mitch. And so, like, you got to get the approval from Andy Reid. Andy Reid's basically running that franchise. So in order to sway it a little more that Reid would love him, Mahomes tells the story of what really happened behind the scenes. Take a listen to this.
The first day that I met Coach Reed was at the facility. We had like the meetings, like the top 30 visits. So I was in there for like 5 hours. He's just going thrilled. going through plays. And I'm going to give you all the inside scoop. Matt Nagy, who was the offensive coordinator then, he really liked me. So he gave me the plays they were going to go over the night before. So Coach Reed's finding out here live on New Heights podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Matt Nagy. How could you?
Let's go.
And yeah, so of course I crushed the meeting. I stayed up all night studying those plays.
It's like, man, this kid is locked in. We got ourselves a winner here.
As the process went on, I got a feeling that I was kind of going up in the draft. I had a couple of teams that said they were going to draft me, and I mean, that's true. Like, it's not like these coaches are making that up. I talked to them during the draft process, and they were like, hey, if you're there, we're gonna take you. I kind of gave a little inside info to the Chiefs, and I was like, hey, if y'all let me go anywhere below, at the time, I didn't know about the Saints, but I was like, if y'all let me go 12 or below, I'm going to get drafted by someone else.
You drafted yourself?
And so I gave the Chiefs a little bit of info on that, because I wanted to be here.
Let's go!
That's Travis Kelsey, like every 30 seconds here. Let's go!
Because it's made him a Hall of Famer.
All right, let's go!
And then he may have been a Hall of Famer even if he would have played the rest of his career with Alex Smith. But still, for sure now.
He was a 1,000-yard receiver going back to 2016.
Right. So he could have been, yeah. Who knows how good. He probably would have been a great player anyway.
Yeah.
But still, solidified it.
To that point, Sylvie, he now can be in the argument or discussion his for greatest, best tight end of all time. Now, I still think Gronk's the best because of his blocking ability, but Kelsey is legitimately right there in the conversation.
Kelsey just turned 33, so he's got, what, probably 3 or 4 good years left if he stays healthy?
Nagy gave him the answers to the test before, like, that was, remember, a couple years before he got the Bears job. And in the meantime, Pace isn't allowing anybody to even know that he was interested in Trubisky.
It sounds like, you know, Matt could identify talent. He just couldn't develop it.
Right. He couldn't develop it.
Like, that was the story I got was that when he was commissioned to do a quarterback research report on the group coming out, Mitch, and this was, he was still the offensive coordinator with Kansas City, Mitch, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes, that his evaluation was Mahomes first, Deshaun Watson second, Mitch third by distance.
And he wanted Justin Fields here.
Yeah.
He couldn't coach Fields, but he picked him. He helped Pace. He led Pace to draft him and to trade up for him.
Yeah. What could have been?
But he couldn't coach him.
What could have been? What could have been? And I'll say this until I'm blue in the face. Everyone that said, oh, you would have never gotten the same Patrick Mahomes here that they got in Kansas City with Eddie Reed and with Andy Reid and all those weapons. They would have been better. They would have been better here with Patrick Mahomes than they were with who they drafted. Period of end of story. He's a better player.
Still made me mad. Just listen to that again.
I know.
We're going to crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah. They're already at Binney's, Lincoln Park. We're all going to be there with few spirits. We're going to win the Bourbon Award tonight.
Probably right? not, right? but
the
we're going to try.
Whiskey Award, yeah. Right? We got some barrels that we're going to be picking tonight. And all the shows are going to be there. Bleck and Abdallah will be broadcasting there live 6 to 8. And Carmen and Yurko will be there. Waddle and I will be there, along with Cap and Hoodie as well.
Our selection is not a sip and whiskey. We've already told you that.
It's the everyman's whiskey.
It's the everyman's whiskey.
We'll talk to Black and Abdallah coming up next.
Hey, we've all said this phrase to ourselves before, right? It's not that bad. You're trying to psych yourself up for a situation that you know deep down is really not great. Maybe a movie you're sitting down for, or a haircut you're about to get, or you're stuck in traffic. It's not that bad, is it? Well, there's one area of life where not that bad won't do. It's how we stay connected at home. And because, honestly, you shouldn't have to settle for using your mobile device as your home internet source. If that's the case, it really is that bad. So here's the good news. With Xfinity, you don't have to just use your mobile phone. Now you can get one line of unlimited mobile with 5G and home internet together for just $50 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract plus a free streaming box. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit your local Xfinity store and switch today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. New Connect Internet customers only on a one-year contract. Internet included for 12 months. New Xfinity mobile account required. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with a stored bank account after 12 months. Regular rates apply. Xfinity post-pay internet required for Xfinity mobile. Additional devices are extra. Reduced speeds after 20 gigabytes of data usage. Offer ends December 21st of this year.
Guys, with the holidays back, so is Toyota-thon. It's going on right now at your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. It was just about a year ago when I started looking at my local Chicagoland Toyota dealer, and I decided on my RAV4. Absolutely love it. 40 miles to the gallon. Super sporty. Latest tech. Luxurious. It's got everything I want. Great family car as well. And right now, you've got the best deals of the year. You can check it out at Toyota.com. Just head to your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. And right now, they've got 20 Toyota models with available all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. It's going to be super helpful for the Chicago winters. Every Toyota comes with Toyota Care. This is a two-year, 25,000-mile, no-cost maintenance plan. It also comes with roadside assistance. It's a great deal. It's time to ring in the season with a winter-ready and fuel-efficient new Toyota. Visit your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. Go to Toyota.com. Check out my RAV4, the Highlander, the Tundra, the Camry, whatever you want. They've got it all with great offers and much, much more. Toyota, let's go places.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We're going to be at Benny's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park soon, and then we'll crosstalk with Black and Abdallah here in a moment. Tomorrow, don't forget, it will be a Miller Time event at Cody's in Lakeview. We've got free food for our fans as well. So great time as we get set for Bears and Packers, maybe with Justin Fields now. At least the game I'm talking about.
Right, he's not going to be at Cody's.
He won't be at Cody's. No,
I think that was a false advertising moment right there.
No, I didn't mean it to. It just came out that way.
Okay.
I was talking about Justin Fields, us talking about Bears Packers with Justin Fields involved now possibly in the game. So
Justin Fields isn't going to be at Cody's tomorrow.
No. Just it's a good clarification. And then we've got the soccer game this weekend, full slate of NFL action. Good game tonight between the Patriots and the Bills. And who knows, maybe one of these days one of our baseball teams will wake up. Black and Abdallah are already ready to go at Benny's Beverage Depot. You guys ready for tonight?
Oh, yeah, guys.
Absolutely.
You guys see this place. It's all set up. It's ready to go. And all of our bottles are on display.
Yeah.
It is so cool to see the logos from the different shows on the side of whiskey bottles.
It's wonderful.
Cool.
It's beautiful.
We'll be trying to hide all of ours, Abdallah, so you're afraid that ours are going to sell.
No, listen, you guys are already, will learn this. Cap and Jesse probably did this. When you write a book, you got to buy all of your own books. So we already bought all of our own
Black
bottles.
Black and Abdallah off to
an
early
lead. Yeah, we're going to be selling them in the parking lot. Yeah.
Black and Abdallah off to a quick start.
So if you want a Black and Abdallah bottle, you got to get it from the parking lot from us afterwards because we already bought all of them.
No, we didn't buy all of them. We just bought a few.
Stolen credit cards or your own?
Come on. Our own.
Okay. No, Chris's dad's.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a great holiday gift. Like, for you guys to and us to give that to people that we know.
Hey,
with
here's
our
some
names.
Alcohol that I chose for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, with our names absolutely. On it. I think, but come on. That's as personal as it gets
By the way, guys, how are you guys advertising your brand? Because Sylvie and I is, our advertisement's a little different. What did you
Chuggable.
Call it?
Juggable.
Well, it's for the everyman.
I said juggable, but.
No, it's ours was the most approachable is what we were told by Paul, the master distiller.
Yeah, so if the expert is saying approachable, we're saying that anyone can grab this bottle of whiskey and enjoy an evening. That's what we're kind of going with. Approachable is the way we
sell it. The people's whiskey.
See, ours is for the everyman.
Yeah, like you can't do that, Abdallah. We already laid that out
different.
Earlier in the
show. There's Pepsi, there's Coke, there's different ways of selling a smile. Come on.
I think someone should try what happens when you mix them all together. It should be there should be an ESPN 1000 batch where it's just all of them as a blend of all of them together.
I don't know.
They make blends all the time.
I think that's interesting.
Ours says definitely not sipping whiskey, very chuggable.
It's whiskey that'll get you drunk.
And you guys know how this is going to work. Carmen's is going to win.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Because even the master distiller was telling us when we were all together picking our batches that the one that Carmen and Yurko picked was by far the best one. So the two of us, our shows, Waddle and Sylvie and Black and Abdallah, we really have to sell this puppy.
Yeah, we do.
Right? Because we already know we're at a disadvantage because Carmen's standing over at the bar. He's already
not
counting
here.
That he's won.
Not just that, Chris, but like... The picking order was done by cards, wasn't it? It was done randomly.
I don't know. What was it called? Whatever. You deal out cards.
The BS card.
It was,
It was the BS game.
And we had I think we had the fourth overall pick.
We were picking 26. Pick. We got Jordan Love.
Right. I tried to trade up, but no one would accept it.
And Carmen, you know, with all of his whiskey friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course he got the first pick. Yeah.
Well,
sleight of hand.
And tonight they're all going to be together and they do these chants together. They do chants and they wear different hats and stuff like this. It's
they've
like
been
the
lining
Moose
up.
Club, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely they've been lining up.
But it's good. There's people here already. The event starts at 6:30. We're going to go.
It's open now.
Will you guys be drinking on the air as well?
Yeah,
Once they start pouring, why not?
Yeah, they have a tour we're here to do,
isn't
it? Listen, you guys know this room. This room is huge. They've got it set up, ready to go. This is going to be a great time tonight.
Have Cap on tonight at some point as a guest and ask him to recreate.
Did you hear
that?
Did you guys hear that?
He's here already.
He was doing it in the he was already in the bourbon aisle trying to recreate it.
Yeah.
And they almost kicked him out. And he's like, do you know who I am? I'm here for the few event.
You better watch yourself. He's going to come over here and smack
it. What is
he
going to
call me?
Some of these
is he
going to
call me something that might get him suspended?
In trouble for what he called the Bulls?
Yeah, do you guys know if he got in trouble? Because the way he said it, I heard you guys replay it.
Oh, boy.
The way did you guys play the whole thing?
Like, yes, he said it like he kind of knew. He said it, it was a little under his breath.
Yeah, like he may get a phone call from someone down at the Advocate Center.
Oh,
well, we know if Sylvie would have said it, he would have gotten a phone call at night from someone.
Well, at least 5 years ago, for sure. Yeah. Are you guys excited for Justin Fields or a little nervous?
No, I'm excited. Let's go. Let's win a football game. If he is practicing full participation today and the same goes for tomorrow, let's play a football game. Let's beat the Packers.
All right.
No, because Chris and I are going to this game. I was lucky enough to be invited to this game. And, like, even today, Chris was, before the news came out, he was like, no offense, dude, I'm not excited for this football game.
Neither was
I. And I was like, well, now it changes everything.
Sure.
Now,
re-energized.
Absolutely. Of course it is. This is winnable. These teams have 7 wins between the two of them. Come on.
Try to taunt Rodgers in a manner in which he will point at you and say, I effing own you. Like, try to get on to some sort of viral moment.
You think the two of us are the type of guys that taunt the opponent?
Absolutely.
I'm bringing a sign.
Yes.
I'm going to bring a sign.
Absolutely.
I'm going to bring a sign.
At least, your buddy who's there freeloading off of you.
Rodgers is a lizard person. Yeah. It's going to say Rodgers is a 9/11 denier, like all that stuff. That he was spewing that DeSean Kaiser said that he doesn't believe in.
What an idiot, that guy.
That's for sure.
I mean, come on.
All right, boys. We'll see you in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again because you guys are going to come on and talk about your bourbon.
Each show is going to join us live here and pitch their bourbon.
Yeah.
So, ours is very spicy.
On the air again
ours is very spicy, just so you know.
I like the spice.
Fleck and Abdallah. You can catch us all live at Benny's Beverage Depot, Lincoln Park, with Few Spirits. We'll be there till about 8:30 tonight. Thank you to Josh McCown, Barstool Big Cat, Courtney Cronin, and Dan Durkin. Thank you today to... Oh, who's the guy who was at the University of Illinois these last couple of days and was back?
That'd be Tyler Aki.
Tyler Aki, thank you for returning today, Tyler. And Jeff Miller, thank you. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
So return is a station, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Did the echo sound? Like, did you hear, like, a bad echo? I just don't like to be distracted.
No.
I couldn't tell the echo. It just, they seemed low, but
okay.
I couldn't tell an echo, really.
Chris, I work for Vinny's in the...
Hey,